In Acts 2, this is the story of Pentecost and the outpouring. And I'm sure that everybody here has probably read that at least once and probably many times. And it's been shared with them many times. But I want to try to bring out a few things this morning. Set a little background. Because the words that I read out of Ezekiel earlier were the same words that they would have had read to them on that day. Because see, during the Hebrew calendar, they read specific passages for each day that occurs. And so that would have been the time period when they would have been reading Ezekiel, and those words would have been ringing in their ears. They would have been still fresh in their mind. And these were good, law-abiding, Jews who cared about what God was doing, who were seeking the Messiah and seeking to know and seeking to follow Him. Devout men, it says in verse 5. Devout men who were looking for what God was doing. The words of Ezekiel would have still been in their mind and fresh before them. Where it says, I will give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And it's interesting that on this day of Pentecost is also the same day of Shabbat, which is the Hebrew feast. And the Hebrew feast was about the giving of the law of Moses. So 50 days after the original Passover, the law of Moses was given. There's a very natural correlation to what happens here. 50 days after the crucifixion of our Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit is given. See, that which was law now becomes spirit. And that's what he's signifying here. That which was something that they had to hold and obtain to with their mind and their own human strength now became something that was given and put into the inside of them and became something that became a source of life instead of a source of death. So God was bringing a new resurrection, a new revelation of what he was doing in this hour. He's given a new revelation to those who are looking. He's doing the same for us today. When the first law was given, there was also the incident of the golden calf on that same day. And 3,000 people died because of their idolatry. How fitting it is then we find on this first day, on that day of first fruits, at Pentecost, there were 3,000 who were brought into the kingdom. 3,000 were saved. What a God of redemption. See the balance and the symmetry of everything that He does is just amazing in that time. Because He has moved that law from something that we had to keep out of the old nature, out of a nature that could never keep the law, and it was something that resided only in our head, only in our thought process, into something that came alive in our spirit. And that's the whole point of what he's trying to do with this. Because when the Holy Spirit came, he came to bring that law and to make it aware within you. But Romans 2:15, he tells us about that law of the conscience. And that when we keep the law, when we keep the law out of the law of the Spirit, then that is perfection of that law. Let's look back here in real quick, like Romans 2:15. For actually, we'll back up to verse 14. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law instinctively do the things of the law, these, having the law, are a law unto themselves. For they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts either alternately accusing or defending. And that's really kind of how it works. See, the Holy Spirit, His whole job is to bring us into a sanctification. And He does that when we allow Him to the opportunity to come before us and we give Him the place to bring His conviction. And we allow that conviction to move our heart. We can follow the path of God. When we allow Him to move in our heart and to bring those things that He would say to us and bring it into a place of holding that as holy. Holding that as something to be latched onto. Then in that process, we give Him the opportunity to guide us and to lead us. John 14, 15, and 16, he begins to outline what the Holy Spirit is about. And the Holy Spirit comes to be Christ with us. But He comes to be that living expression of God within us. He says that He calls Him allos, which is another. It means one of equal quality to Christ Himself. And He takes up residence with us when we invite Him in. He takes up residence with us, and He becomes that law and the completion of those things for us, within us, when we'll abide by His direction. See, the Holy Spirit can be honored. Because everything that you give unto Him, He's going to turn and He's going to bear witness of it, and He's going to bring it to Jesus. For a long time, I wasn't sure whether it was okay or not to worship the Holy Spirit and say, I love you. But I guarantee that everything He gets, He takes and He gives it to Jesus. And then Jesus, in turn, will take and introduce you to the Father. So there's a chain of command, so to speak, that begins to happen, a protocol that begins to happen among them. And so you kind of get a threefer when you begin to worship the Holy Spirit and offer up your love for Him. But see, there's an honoring, because as you honor Him, then there becomes a change within yourself as you honor the Holy Spirit. As you honor Him, you leave an opening for Him to come and minister to you. Because you're giving Him the rightful place that He should have in your life. You're giving that conscious bearing a tool, a righteous place in your life. You're allowing for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to come forth, and you're allowing for that nurturing that He has to breathe on you and within you. Hallelujah. 7 weeks have passed since Passover. Shavuot, Pentecost, the same day, also called the Feast of Weeks. It's the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. These things are the background. It's a celebration and it's a feast. But also this becomes the eighth Sunday. A new beginning. God was signaling, I'm sending a new beginning to this body of Christ that I have out here. And you know what? He's doing that again today. It's a new beginning. It's not just by accident that we happened to start fasting 21 days ago. It's not by accident that we're at this position at this place and time, because God is signaling a new beginning for you. A new life, a transition out of the law of the past into the life of the Spirit. A new beginning. See, it's the end of the barley. See, the barley is representative of the end of that harvest season. The barley is representative of the overcomer. Because see, barley is the first crop to mature. It's the first thing to come into maturation. It's the crop that would endure the heat and the cold. It's the only crop that could actually survive without any of the latter rains. See, much the same as the remnant of Christ. It's the part of the grain crop that could come to a maturation without all the things that most of the body needs and requires. As the remnant, you represent that same thing. And this shift, as we shift out of the season for harvesting the barley and into the season for harvesting the wheat, that's a signal that that which has come to maturation, the overcomers, are now to begin being the fuel and the way by which everything else is harvested. So there's an awakening of evangelism spoken of in this opportunity. There's awakening of the things of Christ, of the giftings of Christ, and the callings of God within you that is spoken of in this festival. It's time to rise up as the overcomers that you are. It's time to allow that overcoming Spirit of God to rise up within you and to begin to take over and to begin to just... to speak out into the atmosphere that's around you. I would like for us to just, with all those things in mind, it's a feast day. With all those things in mind, I'd like for us to just go back and visit that day. If you would just bow your head and close your eyes, I want you to just imagine this, picture this in your mind as I speak it out. They're all gathered together in one place. They're all gathered together in one place. We don't really know if it's upper room, but looking around in this room that we're at, we see a window. It's a large window because there has to be some way for just the atmosphere and for the life to come through. And those who are near the window are feeling the morning sun. And the smells of the end of breakfast are still in the air. The smells of the flowers beginning to come out and open up are in the air. The sounds of preparation for a feast can be heard. The smells of the meat beginning to roast are there. The sounds of different peoples from different lands, parts of conversation drift through the window. The sounds of a cart and a horse going by come up. The sounds of Peter's prayer as he begins to just entreat the Lord God can be heard. And then suddenly, instead of the light breeze that was flowing in, there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind that blows through the house. And as it begins to blow through the house, you begin to feel something changing inside of you. You begin to feel a love like you've never felt before. A love that comes and saturates you. It comes and touches every part of your being and every part of your life. And in that moment, you know that you're being transformed. In that moment, you know that you're being touched. And suddenly the power of God is upon you. And you begin to look around in that room. And you begin to see this light that is shining upon each and every one in the room. That there's a light and a fire upon the hearts and upon the heads of each person in the room. And you're beginning to proclaim the glories of God, but it isn't coming out in your own tongue. It's coming out in another tongue. And the people are from all over the world are outside, just outside this room, and they begin to proclaim, wondering what the noise is about. And suddenly you stand up, wanting to be counted, wanting to deal with all this power, this authority that's coursing through your body. Wanting to come to grips with this love that has suddenly arched and encompassed you. And as you begin to stand up, others begin to come. wanting to know, what is this that you're giving glory to God? How are you giving glory to God in my own tongue? How are you giving glory to God in that which I understand when I am from Rome? When I'm from Crete? When I'm from Egypt? And you realize in the midst of this that there's a warmth and a familiarity. And you realize that the 3.5 years of preparation and the 3.5 years of living with Him, you know that this too is Christ. It's being made manifest to you. It has the same nature, the same life. And suddenly this, the glories of God begin spilling out from your tongue again. And you begin giving glory to God. And there are some who are mocking, saying, these must be drunk. And Peter rises up with these words, "For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. And so it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind, and upon your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will make in those days, I will pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will grant wonders in the sky above and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be on that day that everyone shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Peter goes on to testify of the great and glorious things that God has done. And he sends all of us out to begin laying hands and begin just breathing the breath of the Holy Spirit upon those who have come. And in one day, 3,000 people are touched. In one day, 3,000 people join the kingdom of God. In one day, the law moved from my mind to my heart to be forever enthroned within me. In one day, I became a testimony, not just a testifier. And one day, love came and inhabited me. And one day, all the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, takes up residence. We're forever changed. History is forever changed. The festival suddenly turns into a celebration of the goodness of God, a celebration of the outpouring of this Holy Spirit. Where men had been gathered just to fellowship, they now gathered to honor their King, to honor God. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, even into the remotest parts of the earth. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring forth truth and revelation in us. Bring forth sanctification in us. And bring forth the power to do the things that God has put in front of us. to be that dunamis power operating in us and through us, transforming the world, transforming our environment, touching our workplaces, our marketplaces, changing lives, starting with ours. Hallelujah. If we would bring the basket up, there was never a mention of any of this, but I would just like to honor Bridesong and their team. There was nothing that was requested or anything else, but I want to just honor them in this way. And I want to thank you as they continue to play and as we continue to worship. Just feel free to come and lay an offering in there for them. And I want to thank you for your attention and your devotion to what God is doing today.